It was the 4th of July. Our small town in Texas waited for it eagerly. My new boyfriend Chris and I decided to watch the town's fireworks from the hill. Perched atop it was an old abandoned mansion, which offered the best view around. It was rumored to be haunted, but a lot of couples our age sneaked there for some alone time. We packed a blanket, some beers, and started our hike up the hill just as the sun began to set. But to our surprise, we encountered the town's famous crazy loner, a man named Walter, who lived in a shack near the top. The townspeople had many stories about him, none of them kind. Everyone was scared of him, to be honest.
Where are you two sneaking?
Just going up the hill to see the fireworks. Walter chuckled.
I know just the fireworks that go up there.
Sir?
But he just started talking to himself.
Deplorable. Look at what these kids have made of a great country like ours. Horrible, horrible and insensitive.
Let's go, Chris.
We exchanged uneasy glances and continued our climb. The mansion loomed ahead, its silhouette dark against the dusky sky. The place was in ruins, with ivy crawling up its sides and broken windows that stared out like empty eyes. We spread our blanket on the front lawn, but curiosity got the better of us, and we decided to explore inside. The air grew colder as we stepped through the creaking front door. The interior was musty and decayed, filled with the scent of old wood. But just as we moved through the dark hallways, we heard a distant wailing, like a woman crying. It echoed through the house, sending chills down my spine.
Did you hear that?
Chris nodded, his face pale. Maybe it's just the wind. We finally found a good view on the first floor, just as the sounds of fireworks began to crackle in the distance. Chris put the blanket down, and we grabbed a beer each. Cheers. But suddenly, the sound of furniture being dragged across the floor reverberated through the halls. We froze, staring at each other with wide eyes.
I think we have company.
Curiosity got the better of us. We thought that there was another couple who had sneaked in the mansion and were getting naughty. It was a small town. Everybody knew everybody else. We thought it would be funny to jump in and find out who they were. We followed the sound to a large room at the back of the house, and as we approached the door, it became obvious that a woman was crying inside. Something felt really wrong. My eyes took a moment to adjust to the darkness, but without a doubt, I saw a figure move in the dark corner. As the fireworks went off outside, the light from them made us realize that there stood a pale woman, her eyes hollow and dark, wailing slowly.
Hey there, are you okay?
The woman remained motionless, and then in an instant, she vanished. The room grew colder, and the wailing returned, louder and more desperate. I suddenly felt a sharp pain in my leg, looking down to see deep, bleeding scratches appear out of nowhere. That is when I saw the horror in Chris's eyes. We turned to run, but the door slammed shut. The lights flickered, revealing the woman standing right in front of us now, her face twisted. She reached out, and an invisible force threw Chris across the room, slamming him into the wall. He groaned, struggling to stand. I rushed to his side, my own leg throbbing with pain. The air grew heavy, making it hard to breathe. We could hear maddening whispers all around us. Desperate, we stumbled through the house, trying to find an exit. As we rounded a corner, the woman appeared again, blocking our path. I felt a burning sensation on my arm, like icy fingers clawing at my flesh. Screaming, I lashed out, my hand passing through her as if she were made of smoke.
Please, leave us alone!
But her wailing intensified. In a last-ditch effort, Chris kicked open the door and we ran as fast as our feet could carry us. As we neared Walter's shack, he stepped out.
You saw her, didn't you?
Who was she?
Margaret, she lived there with her husband and child decades ago. They say she went mad after losing them in a fire.
Chris and I exchanged a horrified glance, the reality of our encounter sinking in. We thanked Walter and hurried back to town, eager to leave the hill and its ghosts behind. The 4th of July had always been a big deal for Derek. Every year, he orchestrated the most elaborate fireworks show, mesmerizing the college crowd with his flair for the dramatic. He was good at it. It was his thing. Something that he could show off, and girls would finally look at him for like a day. This year was supposed to be the grandest display yet, but the morning brought a crushing blow. Permission denied. Derek stormed into Dean Michael's office and dragged me along since I was his roomie.
No, Derek, we aren't risking it this year.
The dean's word was final, leaving no room for negotiation. Derek's face twisted in humiliation and anger. Now, having known Derek for some time, I knew he had terrible anger issues. He had been in depression much of his life and had an abusive childhood. He was called Derek the Dread. I couldn't point what, but something was definitely off about him. The humiliation was palpable that day, as Dean Michaels didn't just say no, but mocked Derek's obsession.
You'll regret this.
Dean laughed him out, vowing vengeance. Derek retreated to our dorm room, seething with rage. I followed him, trying to calm him down, but his mind was already racing with ideas.
They don't want fireworks? I'll give them some.
His eyes gleamed maniacally. It scared me. Over the next few hours, Derek meticulously gathered his arsenal. He had always been resourceful, but this time his resourcefulness took a dark turn. Firecrackers, rockets, and Roman candles. Derek had it all. He crafted makeshift bombs, combining the fireworks with gasoline and other flammable materials. It was terrifying to watch.
Adam, help me. We need to set these up around the campus.
I refused. He stared at me like a hawk before carrying the fireworks out himself. To be honest, I didn't really think that he'd do something. But apparently he moved stealthily, planting the devices in strategic locations. The courtyard, the library, the dorms. By evening, the campus was buzzing with excitement for the Independence Day festivities. There was a dance planned. Little did they know, Derek's dark plan was about to unfold.
Walk with me. Let's celebrate.
He had said, before picking me from our room and pulling me outside. The first explosion rocked the courtyard, sending students scattering in panic. Derek stood in the chaos with a twisted smile on his face.
Derek, stop! Dude, this is insane!
But he was beyond reason. He pulled out a Roman candle, aiming it at a group of students trying to flee. The colorful flame shot towards them, catching their clothes on fire. Their screams soon filled the air as the smell of burning skin eclipsed the festivities.
Beautiful, isn't it?
I tried to run, but Derek grabbed me, dragging me along as he wreaked havoc. In the library, he threw firecrackers into the stacks, igniting a blaze that quickly spread. The acrid smell of burning paper filled the air, mingling with the terrified cries of students who ran out for their lives. We burst into the dining hall next, Derek's eyes locked onto a fire extinguisher. With a sickening glee, he ripped it from the wall and smashed it over a student's head. Blood splattered, and the student crumpled to the ground while Derek laughed out loud.
Derek, you're insane!
But this time, I knew that Derek was gone. He caught a fleeing student in his strong arms, lit another firecracker, and shoved it into his open mouth. The explosion was gruesome, the sight horrifying beyond words. I vomited immediately as the jawless student meandered before falling on the ground. That is when I ran away from my life. The campus was in chaos. Sirens wailed in the distance, but it felt like an eternity before the authorities arrived. Derek's final act of terror was the dormitories. He doused the entrance with gasoline, lighting it with a sparkler. The flames roared to life, trapping everyone inside. The authorities chased Derek, who ran to the lawn and lit up all of his remaining firecrackers that he had placed there. And as the rockets took to the skies, the officers shot him dead. But the damage was done. The college was engulfed in flames, the destruction unimaginable. Only 43 suffered minor to severe burns and 7 lost their lives. We couldn't believe all that had transpired. Derek had been my friend, my roommate. I had seen the warning signs, but never imagined it would come to this. Derek's rampage had left an indelible mark on everyone. We would remember 4th of July, not for the fireworks or celebrations, but for the terror and devastation one man had brought. The 4th of July had always been a special day for us. This year, we decided to celebrate with a campfire and barbecue in the woods. The location was infamous, known as the Suicide Forest, because of the numerous suicides reported there over the years. We joked about it, not taking the rumors seriously. There was me, Lauren, and my friends, Emily, Jessica, and Sarah. We were all a close-knit since high school. The evening started perfectly. We found a clearing, set up our campfire, and began roasting marshmallows and grilling hot dogs. The forest was eerily quiet. The only sounds were our laughter and the crackling fire.
Did you know they said this forest is haunted by the spirits of those who died here? Oh, come on, Em. You don't really believe that, do you? I heard they wander around.
I laughed nervously, but a part of me felt uneasy. The darkness seemed thicker. The first sign of trouble came when we heard rustling in the bushes. We froze, listening intently. It was probably just an animal, but the sound was too deliberate, too human-like.
It's just the wind, right? Maybe, but it doesn't sound like the wind.
Jessica got up and shone her flashlight into the trees. The beam cut through the darkness, revealing nothing but dense foliage. She turned back, shrugging.
See? Nothing there.
Suddenly, the flashlight flickered and died. The fire seemed to dim at the same moment. We huddled closer. The fear was palpable. Then, the smell hit us, a rancid, decaying odor like rotten flesh. Sarah gagged, covering her nose.
What is that? It smells awful.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a figure standing at the edge of the clearing. Tall, thin, almost skeletal, with hollow eyes that seemed to bore into my soul. I blinked, and it was gone.
Did you see that? See what?
I pointed, my hand shaking.
There was something there, I swear.
The laughter had died down. We were on edge, every sound magnified in the silence. Then the whispers began. Soft, unintelligible murmurs that seemed to come from all around us.
Who's there? Show yourself!
The whispers grew louder, more insistent. Panic set in. And that is when I felt a cold hand on my shoulder. But when I turned, there was no one there. My heart pounded in my chest. The fire suddenly flared up, casting grotesque shadows on the trees. We screamed as we saw the figure again, this time closer. Its face was twisted, eyes hollow and empty. It moved towards us, its limbs jerking unnaturally.
Run! Get out of here!
We scattered, running blindly into the forest. I tripped over a root, falling hard. Pain shot through my ankle, but I forced myself to get up. I could hear Emily and Jessica screaming somewhere in the darkness. Branches clawed at my skin, leaving deep scratches. The smell of decay grew stronger. I stumbled into a small clearing and saw Emily. She was standing still, her eyes wide with terror. Before I could reach her, something unseen dragged her into the darkness, and her scream was cut off abruptly.
Emily!
I felt a sharp pain in my side. Looking down, I saw deep, bloody scratches, as if made by claws. I stumbled back, trying to find my friends. The forest seemed to close in on me, and the towering trees were menacing. I heard Sarah crying nearby. I found her huddled against a tree, her face pale with fear.
Sarah! We need to go back! Now!
We supported each other, limping through the forest towards our car, which we had parked half a mile away. The whispers followed us, growing louder. Just as we got a glimpse of the road, the figure appeared again, blocking our path. Its mouth opened in a silent scream, and the air around us grew cold. That is when Jessica appeared out of nowhere, grabbing a branch and swinging. It passed right through the figure, but it distracted it long enough for us to run. We finally burst out of the forest, collapsing onto the road. Jessica joined us, and even though we called for Emily, we couldn't hear her anymore. The dawn was breaking. We had crossed a ranger station not far from where we were, so we immediately drove for help. The rangers took about 2 hours before they found Emily passed out near our campsite. She was badly bruised as well, but very much alive. We had made it out, but the horror of that night was etched into our minds forever. To this day, we don't really know what the figure was or why it attacked us. But I wouldn't venture in those woods again to find it out.